Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket. Hey up, it's the Down at Third Man podcast, Bat Thor episode 19 today. Earlier in the night I've spoken to Ed Barnard from Worcestershire, so we'll be hearing from him a little bit later on. But before we get into that, we'll have a little chat about world cricket. And with me tonight, I've only got one of the deadly duo. It's Aid. How are we, dude?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. It's not been the worst weekend, put it that way.
Oh, finish like your first team debut.
Well, if you class standing it on the 45, fielding the ball about 10 times in the whole game as a debut, mate, then yes, I will take it.
I'm like...
Yeah, you know. Didn't even have fine leg that much, mate. I think I'd only spent an over or two there. It was more third man. He kept on edging it off Wills.
Well, that's why it's called down to third man, mate.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. That's the running joke at the Wedges at the moment. Obviously, before we get going, just give a shout out to Woodstock. Obviously, our supporters got the best kit around, as proven by the fact they're 1-2 in the Good Gear Guide. They've got a special discount code for 25% off with us. It's ThirdMan25, so get on their website, get ordering. I know actually a few local lads have been messaging me over the last couple of weeks asking for Jono at Woodstock's number so they can get on to him to try and get their own bat personally picked out. Don't just want to buy any old bat, they want the proper works treatment off him. So join them and get having a look at Woodstock. And of course we've got our Cry Bat stickers now. I'll be honest, I just totally forgot to mention them to Ed Barnard. Should have been trying to get him to have a couple offers, so I'll have to send him a cheeky message later. But Benny Owl, his stickers have arrived. He's promised that they will not only be on his bags, he's also going to make sure that a couple of the Gloucestershire lads have them on the bats as well. So should hopefully see a few pictures of them soon. Right, shall we get into the actual cricket and not just talking about us pair, mate?
Well, we can do.
Well, county championships continued, and Rory Burns, mate, your favourite English opener, is in the runs and is in massively in form. More 50s than anyone else in the county championship. Big ton at the weekend.
Yeah, I can put it runs on that pitch, mate.
Oh, here we go. Do you think he'll be in the squad for the first game? Because I think he's guaranteed his spot now.
Yeah, he's going open up, isn't he? Being with Crawley 3, probably, won't he?
Well, we'll get on to that in a minute because obviously Sibley's only just back from injury. But yeah, Rory Burns, I think, has nailed on his spot. And there's been quite a few runs happening, including Darren Stevens. Now, got Marnus out with one of the worst decisions I've seen in a long while. But
yeah, it was a fantastic decision, mate.
Yeah, great decision in our mind because he's an Aussie and a cheat, as Jono liked to tell us on Twitter. But Darren Stevens, mate. 45 and he's at 190. I mean, Marnus tried his cheeky little bouncer and he just uppercut for 6. The man is 45 and he's making international cricketers look like absolute tits.
Do you reckon he could actually play till 50?
I mean, you'd struggle to argue against him at the moment, wouldn't you? Let's be honest. Like, you watch him at the moment and it's just like, wow, how on earth does he keep... He doesn't just keep doing it. He's smashing people.
You're a stats man. What's the oldest one's played, like, first-class cricketer?
Oh, God knows. I bet it's, like, W.G. Grace or someone, isn't it? Or someone like Brian Close. There's plenty. I think there's quite a few who've played late 40s, early 50s, to be fair. Some are a bit debatable, though, I would say.
No, I was going to say not as probably as good as the standards he's playing at. Seems to be getting better every year.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And I know people, like, jokingly say it, but do you think there's been a player who's had such good stats continuously for a number of years and not actually been given a chance for England?
Probably not. And also, in England, I understand probably what if you didn't pick him to go away, someone like Australia, but at home. Just give him a game now.
Just give him one, just for old time's sake.
It doesn't even like, count for anything, does it? It's not like towards a Test Championship or anything, does it?
No, well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't count towards anything. Okay,
man. Someone gets injured, mate. Get him, man. We need an all-rounder.
Why not? We'll mention all-rounders later on as well. amongst the other results, Nottinghamshire got yet another victory. Just spoke to Ed Barnard about that. They've gone from obviously being, I think, was it nearly 2 or 3 years without a win to now they've won, is it 3 on the bounce? Nottinghamshire, obviously, it helps having Stuart Broad, doesn't it? Let's not beat around the bush. I'm sure having Stuart Broad in your team makes a humongous difference. But good to see what is, I guess you consider one of the bigger, more famous counties doing well again.
Yeah, say Yavin Broad, mate. So I wouldn't mind opening the bowling with him, to be fair. Even though he'd embarrass me, like, but...
Peaky or Broad, it's a difficult one, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. Yeah, as much... To be fair, he bowled very well yesterday, but... He's no comparison, is he?
To be fair, I just look you through the county championship. There is a lot of draws. In fact, every game was a draw other than Nottinghamshire's win it. Worcestershire, the rain, too cold. And I think as we found around Stoke as well, it just hasn't let up, has it, for the last few weeks. And it's been a bit of a shitter, hasn't it, really, if we're being totally honest. The big game was Surrey Middlesex that both teams could have won on the last day and it was pretty tight, but in the end, still ended up quite a comfortable draw. Looking around at international cricket, obviously the big one is the fact that we're now, what are we, just over a week till England are back in action? Obviously, the 2nd of June, so literally just over a week. England versus New Zealand. Excited, dude?
Not really.
Wow, the excited.
I don't know when it comes round, but I didn't even realise it was that close, to be fair.
Yeah. I think it almost doesn't, you don't realise it's that close because normally there's like a massive build-up, isn't there, to a series, but the county championship still going on, and obviously the IPL was expected to be going on still. I just don't think people had really realised, as you say, how soon it's going to be.
The weather's not helping either, is it? Because the last 3 or 4 weeks have just been pissing down constantly. Yeah. You just can't, if it was like, red hot and that, you think, oh, I'm actually, quite excited and stuff, and if there's any tickets left or anything, or you try and get yourself down there, wouldn't you? But
yeah, it's certainly peculiar times. Rain's not helping, and yeah, it's gonna be an odd one. But obviously, I'm sure next week's episode we'll do a lot more chat on build up to this. But I guess the big question marks for England are really who's in that top three? Does Bracey get a go? And I guess who's going to replace Stokes? There's no Wokes, there's no Sam Curran. Do you bring Craig Overton in as your all-rounder, or do you change the sort of makeup of the side and go without an all-rounder?
I'd have 4 seamers and Root as your spinner.
Yeah, I think I'd...
Depending on the conditions, but with how the weather is at the minute.
Yeah.
If it's still like that next week, then it makes pretty much, I've like Robinson or Overton at 8 because I think they can both bat a bit. Can't
they? Robinson can bat for sure.
And then obviously with Archer being injured, Anderson, Broad, and maybe Ward, just a bit of extra pace.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked to see Ward or Stone, I guess, for that extra bit of pace just to mix it up a little bit. Joffre obviously is going to have elbow surgery, looking like it's going to be probably August at best, so he might be back for part of the India series, but I think in reality all the ECB will be thinking is World Cup and then the Ashes, isn't it, which is a shame because obviously I don't think it's Joffre's fault that his elbow's just not liking it, is it? It's one of them things, but so be it. And then I guess the last bit of big news really this week has been all about the fact that the IPL may be played in England in September, or at least that was what some of the rumours were. Now, there was talk of the BCCI asking first to move the Test series to play the IPL. Don't think that went down well with many, if any, people. But I can sort of, I felt like I thought England were almost being backed into a corner because you know that the counties want it to happen because they're going to earn loads of money off it. It's a great opportunity to get kids and stuff involved in it. I was listening to something with the Rajasthan owner the other day where it said that the IPL is actually massive for like 8 to 18-year-olds in the UK. It's like huge, probably the most watched cricket in the UK for that age group. So obviously it'd be a huge chance for the ECB makes a lot of money, obviously keeps the BCCI basically run cricket on their side. But if they were to do anything like that, they'd get an absolute shitstorm, wouldn't they? Let's be honest.
Oh, it's a difficult one.
No. And the thing is, I can't blame them because people have now bought tickets, bought hotels, so I totally understand that I wouldn't want them to move a test match for the IPL. But I also think they've got to try and do everything they can other than that to get the IPL this year, because the thought of, as say, Rajasthan Royals, you've got Jofra or Stokes or Butler, whoever, playing against Mumbai Indians, Rohit Sharma, Ishan Kishan, Jasprit Bumrah, that is going to be absolute sellout. That is going to be the biggest sporting event in the country at that time, even with the football still being, like, kick season kicking off before then. It would be massive, and I can only imagine how much money the counties would make. So I can't blame them if they try and get it to happen. I know people won't like it and say it's pyjama cricket, it's Indian cricket, we don't want it, but I think if they can do it, fair play to them. I would not blame them at all, because I'll be honest, I'd be one of the first people to say I fancy a Friday night in Manchester getting pissed watching that.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
Sounds like a great day. The issue is obviously it'll piss it down because it's September and it's Manchester, but...
Oh, no, September, mate. That's the nicest weather normally.
That's what we're going with, mate. Well, it can't... Fucking May isn't the best weather, is it? Let's be honest. Oh. Jesus. Right, well, I think, mate, that is everything... really cricket news for us to cover, so we'll go to a quick advert with Woodstock, and then after the advert you'll hear my lovely dulcet tones talking to Worcestershire's Ed Barnard, and we'll be back just after the interview to talk about North Staffs.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky. With so many options to choose from, how do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
So it's Monday evening on the Down at Third Man podcast. Not got Aid or Johnny with me tonight as it stands. Hopefully Aid will be along with us later on for talk about North Staffs and all the sort of world cricket news. But I am very lucky to have someone with me tonight who knows a lot more about cricket than Aid, Johnny and me put together. Not hard, I'm sure most of you will say, but we have got with us Worcestershire all-rounder Ed Barnard. How are we, Ed?
I'm good, thanks, Ash. Thanks for having me on. Really excited to do this with you.
No problem. Excited to have you, and excited to see if you do a little bit better on the quickfire round than your skipper Joe Leach did.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can rub his nose in it a little bit, so hopefully I can do a little bit better than him.
Also a fellow Shrewsbury boy, isn't he? And,
he is, fellow Salopian. So,
yeah, I should know that, Salopian.
There's a few of us are up that way.
Yeah, so I guess getting straight into it, obviously, although been at Worcestershire for a long, long time, originally from Shrewsbury, how did it all start, cricket in Shrewsbury, for you? Was it through school or was it through family? How did it all come about?
Yeah, well, massively through family, really. My dad played a lot of cricket for Shrewsbury and Shropshire and played a bit of second team cricket sort of at Warwickshire. But he's a bit of a, I say this sort of... tentatively, but he's a bit of a legend around Shrewsbury and Shropshire. He played a lot through the sort of 80s and 90s. So, he was playing. I've got two older brothers, so we always used to go, obviously, watch him play on a Saturday, and we'd be playing around the boundary edge at Shrewsbury. So, that's how I first got into cricket, really, going and watching that and then getting into the age group stuff there. And obviously, having two older brothers, I was always sort of the one fielding out on the boundary while those two bowled and batted at each other. I was always the one fetching the ball.
Speaking of Shrewsbury, am I right in saying that you've played alongside Leachie, his brother, your brothers, all in one side? Because if so, that sounds like one almightily impressive team to come up against on a Saturday.
Yeah, we had a good sort of period at Shrewsbury sort of through the early 2010s. We had quite a good sort of side. And yeah, Joe Leach and his brother played, Steve, who was on the books at Worcester. Both my brothers played, who are fairly good cricketers. Who else did we have? We had a few other lads as well who were just solid club cricketers, and we actually managed to win the national knockout in 2011, so we had three or four sets of brothers in that side. So it was a bit of a family affair, but a really good day for the club and for a family, for me and both my brothers to be playing. It was pretty special.
Yeah, sounds it. To be fair, I'd imagine that was some celebration as well after. Would you rank that above or on a par with the Blast wins and the promotion from County Championship?
Probably not quite as good as those. I don't think it would quite be on that level. But obviously at the time, it was probably one of the biggest games of cricket I've played in. And we obviously really enjoyed it. And it was a great day out. I remember we played it at Derby's ground. And we had about 30 or 40 just of our mates from Shrewsbury came and watched. And a lot of them came in fancy dress. And there was some funny songs and some good celebrations because they were on the beers for most of the day. So yeah, it was a pretty special day that, but no, I'm not sure I can quite rank it up there with a couple of days I've had recently.
Well, getting on to the Worcestershire side of things, came through in the academy. What's it like coming through in an academy in cricket? We spoke to Pat Brown previously and he sort of said about coming through the academy, but being sort of in and out of it and going to these special pace days and things, and that was how he got into it. Was it similar for yourself, or was it a different route through?
I've probably had a slightly different route to Pat, because like you say, he was probably in and out of that sort of system, and he's worked incredibly hard and come into the system in a slightly different way. I was sort of more of a classical route, if you'd say. I kind of got into the academy when I was about 13 or 14 and stayed in ever since then, and sort of came up through the ages until I got my first contract. So that was kind of smooth sailing as much as it can be as an academy cricketer, but it was brilliant. We had Damien D'Oliveira was head of the academy at the time, obviously son of Basil and father of Brett, who I now play with. He was amazing. He was a brilliant academy coach, and he did a lot for a lot of the sort of success we've had in the last 10 years of bringing through young academy players into the first team. But yeah, it was a great academy setup. It's really enjoyable. Obviously, it was a bit of travelling for me as I was living in Shrewsbury for most of it, but it was something I really enjoyed doing and really looked forward to.
Yeah. And then, obviously, I said all round at the beginning, but I guess your role has maybe changed a little bit, because obviously the big breakthrough was probably through England under-19s, where it was more of a batting all-rounder role. But now I know there was a graphic on Sky Sports the other day showing you up as one of the leading, obviously, wicket takers in the last, I think it was like 10 years or something, and one of the best bowling economies. Has it been difficult or enjoyable sort of having that change as you've come through from being more batting-based to being more bowling-based?
Yeah, I think a bit of both, really. Obviously, ever since I was a young kid, I wanted to bat and I wanted to bowl and I wanted to field, I wanted to do everything. And I've sort of been lucky enough as I've grown up to sort of have the ability to do both quite well. But you're right, I've kind of, my role has changed up in a few different ways, really, through my cricketing career. Like you say, 19s, I kind of got pigeonholed a bit more as a batter and didn't bowl as much, but then obviously breaking into the professional game, and ever since I've sort of been seen as more of a bowler who bats. But for me, in my eyes, I've always wanted to be a genuine all-rounder. I want to be seen as sort of neither one or the other. I've worked really hard on my bat in the last sort of 3 or 4 years, and I know there's more to give with that, so I'm still really hoping that I can kick on with that again, and I want to be batting in the top six and bowling as many overs as I can. So it's something I think you kind of got to accept. Just at the start of my career, I just wanted to be playing first team cricket. I didn't really care how or what I was sort of playing at as, whether it was a bowler or a batter. But I think now I'm sort of more established and played a few more games, I really want to be pushing my case to be that genuine all-rounder and batting in the top six.
Do you find that, like, that's how people like pigeonhole into roles quite an annoying thing? Because I think of even people I've spoke to, and they even start describing Ben Stokes as being a particular type of all-rounder. Do you think it's maybe people get a little bit too obsessed with trying to make an all-rounder better at one thing than the other, and actually what you want and what a lot of all-rounders offer, it really is that all-round package, and there's no need to sort of pigeonhole them into one or two.
I think sometimes, yeah, it can be. I think obviously there's some cases where it becomes quite obvious that someone is more of a batter or more of a bowler, it might suit them to sort of bat higher and bowl less overs, because obviously, especially in first half cricket and some of the schedules, it's hard to sort of, especially batting in like the top four and bowling 25 overs and innings, if you know what I mean, it's not really physically possible. You look at Ben Stokes, a bit of a freak really, and the way that he can bat sort of anywhere in the top six, but also run in for 20 overs and bowl 90 mile an hour. And I think that's sort of what makes him so special, in not only in England, but in world cricket. You don't see as many genuine all-rounders as he is. And even in the last 20 years that you can't think, apart from Jack, Alice, Stokes, there's not that many you could really class as genuine all-rounders. But yeah, I do think people can be pigeonholed slightly, and it can be quite annoying at times. But also, I think for the player, it's just whenever you get a chance to do either, prove that you're good enough to perform that skill at any time, and then it makes it harder to be pigeonholed.
Yeah. So obviously, you say you've played for 19s, you've played for also had a bit of time with the Lions. What would you say about that? Was it a good experience? Do you think it's somewhere now you want to get back to, or do you think the next step is the England full team, or what do you make of sort of the international options?
For the Lions, the chance I had with that was amazing. I got called up halfway through their series a couple of years ago, and I really enjoyed it. I managed to play a couple of games, which was sort of a really proud moment for me. Like you say, it's something I don't want it to be a one-off. I want to do it again if I can, and I want to push my case to be in those sort of positions. I've also got to be quite realistic, I think, with my cricket. I don't bowl 90 mile an hour, which obviously as a bowler or 85 plus even, you look at most international seamers, that's sort of what you got to do. So I think for me, my way of getting into any sort of that sort of recognition now is probably to work on my batting as much as I can and bat in that top six and score as many runs as I can, and then hopefully that would be my routine. But like I say, all you can do is focus on my cricket at the minute and do as well as I can for Worcestershire and win as many games as I can for Worcestershire. And then if those higher sort of honours came again, it'd be amazing. And if not, I'd still be very proud to have played for them a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you've done a lot better than most of us, put it that way. A genuine question on the sort of the speed thing. How much of a difference do you think it really makes going from sort of 82 to 90 mile an hour as in the pro game? Because obviously, I'll be honest, put the bowling machine on 70 and I can't get bat on ball. So the thought of like anything above that sounds crazy. And it always sort of what difference do you think it really makes? Because you look at the county championship stats and a lot of them top bowlers bowl somewhere between 77 and probably about 83, 84. There's not actually that many bowling north of 83. So do you think it actually makes that much of a difference, or is it maybe a bit of a sort of a fascination with people that they just want to see these people bowling at them high speeds?
I think it's a great question. I think in terms of professional game and first class cricket, I don't think there's a huge sort of difference in what pace you can bowl, because I think a lot of the wickets you play on sort of assist seamers no matter what pace you bowl really. And obviously the quality of batters isn't quite as good as test cricket, but I think if you do want to play test cricket, international cricket, they obviously play on much better wickets more consistently. The sort of quality of batters you come up against, I think you need to be of a certain pace to trouble them consistently. So I think there can be sometimes an over fascination with pace, but I do also think if you want to step up from first class to professional to international cricket, I think there is a necessity to at least be a sort of 83, 84, maybe even 85. You look at someone like Chris Wokes, I think when he first went into the England setup, he was probably an 83, 84 bowler. But the difference you see in him now, bowling 87, 88, 89, he's world class now. Mm. I think there is a fascination with it, but I'm a cricket fan as well. I love to see people bowling 90, 95 mile an hour. And I think for international cricket, you do need to be of a certain pace to trouble those sort of cricketers.
Yeah. It always amazes me when I see that spinners are bowling like 60 odd mile an hour and turning it square, utterly beyond me. Don't understand how you can do both. And I don't think that's personally fair, but fair play to them. Just before we get on to sort of everything that's happening now, obviously, we just spoke about earlier, obviously won the Blast. You were out there batting with Ben Cox at the time. I think, was it faced two deliveries out of the last, was it 10-15, but still part of the partnership, all counts, don't it? What was it like winning the Blast, and how did that compare to sort of the county championship, getting promoted the year before? Which, dare I say, ask which was better?
I think, first of all, I think that's probably the second best one that out in the history of cricket. Obviously, Jack Leach probably just pips me with his one that out. that's my sort of claim to fame. That was a really special day, I think, for a club. It was great, the championship the year before, and obviously after a long season, a long hard season, to be back up in Div 1 was huge for the club, because it's where we want to be as a club, and just for the efforts through that season to be promoted, I think it sort of shows how well you perform for a whole consistency of a year. But it doesn't really compare, I don't think, to the Blast. The Blast was really, really special for us to be there. The first time we'd ever been at finals day, we were kind of just happy to be there at first, and we were just going to go out and enjoy it. And I remember Mo speaking to us at the start of the game, and just talking about how it's just another game of cricket, if you know what I mean. We just had to get past Lancs first, and then obviously we played Sussex in the final. But he just took the sort of aura around it away and just let us go out and relax and just play cricket. And both the games were incredible games of cricket, really. I think in both games, there were times where it looked like we weren't going to get over the line, but Coxey obviously had a phenomenal day out, and was pretty special in both games. Brownie was spectacular as well, and then just as a whole team, like we had all season, someone sort of pulled their finger out at the time when it was needed. So that sort of day and evening is definitely something that I'll hold with me for the rest of my life. That was really, really special.
Is there any stories from that day that are particularly amusing, or people will particularly enjoy, or are they not safe for consumption of the general public?
Not like the thing off the top of my head. There are a few of our lads who were in the squad who obviously weren't playing and weren't in the squad on the day, who were there in the crowd. I think they'd had a few beers, so I remember we won. They obviously all came on the pitch, and most of them were crying their eyes out because they obviously the mixture of the emotion of watching us win, but also having had probably a few more drinks than they probably should have done. There were three or four Worcester lads on the pitch crying at the end. I think, if we won't mind mentioning his name, but George Rhodes, who was at Worcester at the time and wasn't in the squad, he just had a shoulder operation. So he was on the pitch with us singing and dancing and crying with his shoulder in a sling. it was an incredible evening. And it was actually one sort of, before you do it, you expect it to be this big, amazing night and then maybe go out and have a massive night out, but we literally stayed in the change rooms till whatever time, just with our family and friends. And by the time you get back to the hotel room, you're so knackered from the adrenaline of the day, and you've probably had a few drinks as well. You literally just crash. And that was, like I say again, it was just very special and pretty surreal, especially the next couple of days. Just kind of couldn't get our heads around that little old Worcester had won the T20.
So obviously, as you say, little old Worcester, but now competing obviously against in a slightly different format, I guess, with the Bob Willis Trophy and sort of the three groups. Started off with a lot of draws. Last couple of games maybe not been so as positive in result, but still got obviously a reasonable chance of getting in that top division. How have you found sort of the new format, and what's it been like playing against clubs that maybe have rarely played in sort of the last probably 10 years?
I think the actual format itself was probably a really good idea and probably needed to be done. I think the sort of two division, as good as it was, the promotion relegation, it probably came a little bit stale, I think. Obviously, you kind of had a few clubs that were A, stuck in Div 1 and B, stuck in Div 2 and didn't get to play against each other much. And for like us as Worcestershire, we hadn't played Warwickshire for about 3 or 4 years, just because every time we'd gone up, they'd come down and vice versa. So I think the fact that they've managed to factor that in and make sure that we're playing our local rivals every year is good, and especially for our members and our fans. I know that it's the first game they look out for, especially in the one-day comp, so to have a four-day fixture against them too. But like you say, yeah, to be playing different sides, testing yourselves against, obviously we've got Essex and Essex in our group, who obviously have been the best Red Bull sign for the last 2 years. It's a great chance for us to test ourselves against them, but Yeah, it's been a strange season, really. We feel like we started well. We've played some really good cricket. We've played on some pretty placid pitches, to be honest. But we fought really well and we've played some really good cricket at times. It's kind of one of those, after we lost at Durham, it kind of went from being five games unbeaten, five good games. It was suddenly six games where we hadn't won, and then seven games where we haven't won. So the last couple of weeks have probably put a bit of a negative spin of the season. And yeah, we probably haven't played our best cricket, but we're still hopeful. Like you say, we're still in the mix. We've still got three games which we find are winnable coming up, three home games. So yeah, we've got our fingers crossed and hopefully we can sneak ourselves into that top two in that top group in Super September or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, Super September. Someone's not really spent long thinking up that name. Super September that may now have the IPL, apparently.
Well, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. obviously, you got play against Stuart Broad in the last week and been quite a few, but obviously big names in terms of sort of the England players who've been turning out for the counties, which have been really good. And also quite a lot of, I'd say, names that have sort of shined that maybe people who don't normally follow the county championship quite as much have seen popping up because of the streams. What names would you say are sort of sticking out, have stuck out to you so far as the ones to maybe watch out for in terms of the rest of the county championship, but also for obviously England as we move into what is obviously a massive sort of 9 months or so for England?
Yeah, I think, like you say, we've sort of copped some pretty good players so far this season. The last 3 weeks we've had Broad, Wood and Stone sort of back to back. So that's been a real good test for our batters. They've all bowled exceptionally well. Broad was obviously pretty special this week, and then Wood bowled some quick stuff last week up at Durham. So I think that's exciting for the England fans and for all of us who are England fans for them to be looking in good nick going into that series. Obviously, we played against Derby early in the season, and Matt Critchley, who's obviously had a very good season, he had a pretty special game against us and looked in fine form. Dan Lawrence, again, he scored runs against us, and I think he'll hopefully, if he gets a chance in that England side, he's looking very good. And whenever I've played against him, I've been seriously impressed. So, yeah, they're just a few of the names we've played. But I think for us, obviously, Jake Libby, he's been outstanding for us. He just sort of churned out runs ever since he joined the start of last year, and long may it continue, if you know what I mean, for us. So yeah, we're hoping that he continues his good form and can stay towards the top of those run scoring charts.
Obviously, the white ball stuff all sort of kicks in, and I think it's just under a month's time now. Worcestershire, I guess, over the last few years have maybe almost been seen as maybe more of a white ball side, and obviously you'd expect Murray and Ali to be playing quite a lot of them games as well. Are the aspirations that it's another finals day that you're looking for, and also maybe a finals day in the Royal London as well when the 100's happening?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously we struggled a little bit last year, but like you say, the 3 years previous to that, we've been one of the best white ball countries, one of the best white ball teams in the country in terms of winning games and getting to quarterfinals, getting to semi-finals, getting to finals. Yeah, fingers crossed we're going to have Mo for most of the T20 Blast at least, and that's obviously a huge bonus to any side having. He's just an awesome player and I can't sort of describe how good it is to play with him. We've also got Sandeep
Lamishane.
Yeah. I hope you pronounce his second name, and Ben Dorsius from Sydney, so two really good additions to our bowling. So I think we're going to be a really exciting side again in white ball cricket this year, and like you say, we've done well and we're hoping to back that up again this year and get to those finals, because what we want to do as cricketers, you want to be playing the big games, you want to be playing finals, you want to be winning trophies. So fingers crossed we can sort of hit the ground running in a couple of weeks and go from there.
Yeah, no pressure, but I'm hoping you guys are firing on all cylinders, because I always go Derbyshire and Lancashire once a year and manage to pick out your fixture against them both as well. So no pressure, but I'll be looking forward to seeing yourself, hopefully Leachy, and of course Dorsius and Sandeep as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Two big names for it. Just looking ahead past, obviously, this year, thinking about sort of franchises, thinking about the 100, what would you like to be involved in more of that sort of stuff? Obviously, the 100's going to, well, looks like it's going to be massive, and whether it's a success or not, it's going to be probably the biggest talking point in cricket, well, English cricket anyway. And obviously, franchise competitions just seem to pop up all over the world. There's more and more. It amazes me. I think Major League Cricket as it's coming, Global T20 in Malaysia, it just seems to be never, ever ending. Would you like to be a part of them? Is there any that sort of in particular tickle your fancy, or would you be up for trying out sort of any, as long as they're not obviously in Mongolia or somewhere completely completely bizarre?
Yeah, 100%. It's something the last couple of years I've sort of chucked my name in the hat just for most of the auctions and most of the drafts, just to see if I can get picked up anywhere, really. It's something I'd love to do. Obviously, all you need is one person to sort of see your name and have a senior play a little bit and sort of say, yeah, he's a good cricketer, he's worth a punt on. I'll probably have to prove it. The Blast this year, it's another good opportunity to sort of go out and do well and prove as an all-round cricketer, sort of batting, bowling and fielding, that I can offer a franchise or whatever sort of a team a good option. It was pretty disappointing not getting back in the 100, as I kind of got picked in the initial draft, and then obviously disappointingly didn't get to play in it last year because of COVID, and then didn't get retained, which was a disappointment, but kind of these things happen. So there's obviously still a chance this year with the wild card, so that's my first goal, is to do as well as I can in the Blast, and fingers crossed I may have a chance with that. But then, yeah, like I say, all cricketers really want to be playing the best cricket they can. I'd love to test myself against the best players in the world. So I'll continue to sort of put my name in the hat, and hopefully at some point I might get an opportunity in one of them.
Yeah, my next question was actually going to be about the wild card slot. Do you think that's going to add that sort of extra edge to the Blast? Because obviously everyone's going to be going out there thinking, look, I've got the opportunity to be in one of eight spots in what should be one of the biggest competitions, obviously not just in the country, but probably worldwide. So do you think that sort of adds that extra edge to people to maybe want to put themselves forward? Do you think there'll be some players maybe who normally maybe wouldn't play as much in the Blast, or maybe now thinking, actually, this is a big chance?
Yeah, I think, like you said, there'll be a lot of cricketers around the country who didn't quite make the cut for the draft, or who probably feel like they can provide a good option or should have been in it. So they're going to be out there sort of wanting to prove that and sort of compete against some of the players that maybe have been picked up and sort of prove that they're as good, if not better. So I think that, yeah, there might just be an extra edge to some of the games and some of the cricket in it. And also for the lads who I think are already in the 100, they'll want to prove that the teams are right to pick them up and get themselves in good form going into that competition. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really exciting competition again this year.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be good to watch as well, of course. And there always seems to be a few viral clips that come out. And obviously, I think you yourself went viral a couple of years ago for a couple of great catches. Maybe that seems to weirdly be quite a good way of getting into some of these franchise leagues. So maybe that's the way forward. Maybe just get the viral clips, have a word with the media manager, say, look at this, this clip needs to be going out tonight.
Yeah, maybe I'll have a word with Blake, see if he can just recirculate it a couple of times.
Right, I'm going to move on now to a couple of questions from one of our listeners. Now, we have a listener, Jim, and love Jim, lovely bloke. Never met him, but because he's from down south in Hampshire, but always got time for Jim because he always sends us some great questions. Now, I can't lie to you, these aren't the most serious questions, but the great questions nonetheless. So his first one, he wanted me to let you know, actually, his game got called off on Saturday. It was his brother's birthday. He went out on the piss all day, and he wanted you to know that what he was thinking about at 1 a.m. while smashed was what questions he wanted me to ask you.
Well, I'm glad that's what's popping into his head at 1 a.m. because I'm sure he could have been one of their own things.
Yeah, at least he wasn't doing anything too wrong, shall we say. So, first one was, does Jake Libby smell as good as he bats?
I can't say I spend that much time that close to him, especially obviously with COVID. maybe I'll use that one. I imagine he does. He's very well. He's a tidy individual. He always looks smart, so I imagine he always smells nice. He's also a very good golfer, so I'll chuck that in there for him. But no, yeah, if he smells as good as he's batting, I'm sure he smells amazing.
New fragrance there. His second question is, would you rather fight one Joe Leach-sized duck or 20 duck-sized Joe Leaches? Don't know what was going through his mind, but he clearly was very intoxicated.
It's a great question. Well, Leachie obviously is renowned for probably having the biggest head in cricket. So obviously, if it was one Joe Leach-sized duck, that duck would have a massive head and a massive conker. But the 20 little ones probably also would have pretty big Swedes. I'd probably have to go the little ones because I think I wouldn't be able to cope with a duck with the head the size of him. So yeah, I'd probably have to go the 20 little ones. But I probably wouldn't mat myself in either, to be honest.
And then the final one from Jim was, do you consider yourself to be the most famous person from Shrewsbury since Charles Darwin?
No, I think Joe Hart's from Shrewsbury. So I think he probably tips me. Maybe not so much over the last couple of years, but yeah. I think Joe Hart's probably a slightly more well-known sportsman, I'd say. There's probably other politicians or something, but
No one cares about them, let's be honest.
It's a sport, I think, yeah. Joe Hart might just be pipping me into that one.
Now, my last question comes from one of my teammates, actually, and I asked this to Pat Brown. So it is Worcester-based, so your answer may depend on how much you've been drinking around Worcester. The question simply is, tramps or the Sin and Bush?
Well, it depends what night of the week, doesn't it, really? I think
this tramps is exactly what Tom Martini says.
Tramps is your Wednesday night university student union, or whatever they call social night, whatever they have. But then I think if you're out on a sort of classic Friday, Saturday, Sin and Bush is your route to go. There's apart from those two, there's not much other options. So yeah, I think if you mentioned it to anyone from anywhere near Worcester, they'd know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, Smithy says the exact same thing. Pat Brown said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And just count yourself lucky, because Pat Brown was lucky enough to meet Tom in, I think it was Sin and Bush. However, Tom didn't realise it was Pat Brown and asked him where the bogs were, and then came out the bogs after and realised that he'd just asked someone who he'd been watching play for England a few months before where to go for a piss, which he loves to tell us all about. Right, the last thing I have left for you, Ed, is the quickfire round. So we'll see if we can do a little bit better than Joe, because I'll be honest, your skipper admitted to us after that he was basically just lying and started naming random things for his answers that weren't true because he was so scared that he was not doing it quickfire. So I'll try and go through as quickly as possible so I'm not stuttering, and hopefully we can get to the end of the questions and do a lot, lot better than Joe. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right, then. 3, 2, 1. High score.
128.
Best figures.
6 for 37.
Red ball or white ball?
White ball.
Best ground?
New Road.
Best friend in cricket?
Tom Fell.
Best person played against?
Sangakkara.
Favourite food?
Curry.
Favourite drink?
IPA.
Favourite TV show?
Suits.
Favourite film?
Shawshank Redemption.
Favourite band?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Pre-match song?
I don't listen to music for them.
Guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Probably a curry again.
Biggest fear?
Getting a duck.
And last one, have you ever had a Staffordshire oat cake?
No.
Oh, you're unlucky. You need to have one.
Are they good?
Beautiful. No one seems to understand what they are, but to be fair, Leachy knew what they were, so.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He should do, really. He has played for Port Hill and whatever.
Like you say, so
he should know.
At least he got that one.
Yeah, he got that one. Didn't get many of the others, but he got that one. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, Ed, and we wish you the best of luck for the season ahead, and obviously both in the county championship and the white ball stuff, and hopefully, touch wood, we see you getting a wild card spot and we're watching you in the 100 as well on the BBC.
No, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. Obviously, really enjoyed it and hope I did all right with the questions. I'll have to tell each other better than him, and then I'll ask him about the oatcake and get a review on that.
Yeah, definitely. See if you can get you some down for the lads. Because honestly, beer, bacon and cheese, nothing beats it. Honestly.
I'll hold you to that.
Right, big thanks for joining us, and have a really good rest of the season, mate.
No trouble. Thanks a lot, mate.
Welcome back. So you've enjoyed the chat there with Ed Barnard. Really nice lad. Wishing him obviously the best for the season. Sure, he'll do really well, and hopefully he'll get himself into one of them 100 spots. So I guess it's time to talk about North Staffs, dude. Now, the first thing on my list says, how did we do? Do you want to talk through your weekend?
Well, Saturday was short and sweet. Well, short-ish. I watched a bit of the playoff. And then, yeah, about half two maybe. Pulled off, I think. Literally, the ground wasn't even that bad. It was just 1 foot mark. Obviously, when you land, it was literally like sludge. So they waited to see if it dried out a bit, and it didn't. So
sort of, we mate.
Went down all sager for a bit. Just had a few beers.
Fair enough. And yesterday?
We come second, mate.
Come second, but against a good side, mate. So you can.
Yeah, we gave it a good day. We didn't have a normal side out. We got three or four missing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think we got 133, and they knocked it off for four. So at least it was competitive anyway. So. Yeah.
Fair game of cricket, mate. Fair game.
I've got Rooty fine as well, because I turned up with him.
Nah, smart. Rooty did hit some runs though, didn't he, mate?
Yeah. Yeah,
he got... talk about that.
Yeah.
Keep that quiet. Keep that quiet. Right. We'll go on to the Prem and stuff, and then we'll come back to the Talbot Cup later on. Prem, yeah, quite a few games. Well, I think all games in the end got played. Bit of variation as into how long they lasted. Some ended up a lot shorter, some slightly shorter, some managed to somehow get the full game in. First one I've got down is that Bagnall pulled off a bit of a shock, got the win against Longton. Bagnall won the toss, elected to field. Longton were 62 for 9 off 22 overs. Greg Willetts had a good day there, to say the least. 5 overs, only went for 10 runs, 3 wickets, you can't argue with that. Bill Albatti had only got the 1 wicket, but was even more miserly. Economy rate of 1.4 because he only went for 7 runs. And there was also a couple of wickets for Alex Graham. I don't think anyone really... In fact, only one player got into double figures for Longton, Archie Dorbar. Not a good day at the office for Longton, and Bagnall knocked it off pretty comfortably in the end. Freddie Dorbar, brother of Archie, getting himself 13 not out to help see him over the line. And Josh Cartledge, the main man, really, with 34 for them. Bit of a shock, but let's be honest, who wants to be facing Bill O'Allen, Greg Willett on a wet one at Bagnall?
Not me.
So.
And some people might have played the rain card as well on the Friday.
Yes, always.
That probably didn't even help as well. But...
No. Never gonna be favourable. Cheadle was
off 20 to get him more. Was it 62 for 9, was it?
Yeah.
Off 22 overs.
Yeah.
Fair effort that is.
Not bad effort at all, is it that? Going on to Cheadle Bearslam. Cheadle also won the toss and elected to field. Kept Bearslam to 130 for 8 off 33. And they knocked it off with ease, to be honest. 133-4 off off only 24 overs. Bearslam's main man really was Zem Malik. Opened up with 42. Rhodesy got a few, 15. I'm sure you'd be glad to hear. And Callum Harrison hit a quick 21 at the end, which I think maybe they hoped would have given them just enough to make a bit of a fight of it. But Cheadle did well. Andrew Coxon started off with 30, and then Ali Khan, 78, not out off 62. That's not a bad effort, that.
He dropped him.
Who did?
Rhodesy.
Did he own him?
Catch, though, like full length dive, but
yeah.
I said tit in the hands, he says yes, so it's a draw.
Tit in the hands, it's a drop, that is well known. That is how things work. Meekins went and won against Checkley at home. They posted... They ended up being put into bat, actually, but posted up 187 for 7 off their 30 overs. Yeah, Sam McGarve got 26, Pete Wilshaw got 50, not out. And Sam Moore's messaged me this morning asking when the podcast was out, which told me straight away he must have got a few runs. So he got 33, I'll give him a little shout. And Checkley just wasn't to be. They were all out for 119, and were a couple of balls to go with the game. Scott Alston got 43, Cattleborough got 22, but it does seem like they very much rely on really those three big names, the three ex-first-class lads to get them the runs. And I'm told by Sam Moore, Seb Smith did really well, the young spinner, but just wasn't to be in the end for Checkley, falling quite a way short.
Next, 19 balls for Pete Welshall.
Yeah, he's gone at a rate, Annie.
Jesus.
Feels like he may have been playing Phoenix League and not an actual game, but there you go. Actually, speaking of Phoenix, dude, are you in on Thursday, dare I ask?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I feel like I'll have to train at some point. It seems, you know, the club I do play for on a Saturday, I haven't trained for about 3 weeks.
The joys. The big South Moorlands derby was next up in the Prem, and Leek just about came out on top in what appeared to be an absolute thriller. Ashker won the toss, put Leek in, and Leek managed 1-5-3 for 8 from their 33 overs. Sort of steady runs all the way through, to be fair. No one particularly failed massively. Alex Thompson of the high scorer with 37. Looking through at the bowlers, Josh Johnson got a couple, Ross Whiteley got one. Max Hildo got three and only went for 24 off his six overs. So he actually went for the same runs as he did last week off six overs. Last week he went for that many runs off four balls. So big shout out to Max Hill for that, because that is a massive improvement. Fair play, lad. I'm sure Jono will be really proud of you there after he dropped you in it big time last week. Ashcombe ended up dropping just eight short, 1-4-5-9. Ross Whiteley and Haroon Mamu got them off to a good start. Ross Whiteley getting 38, but they just couldn't quite get themselves over the line in the end. But I'm told it was a really, really good game, and of, as you would expect, a very busy day as well for Leek, with lots of people down having a watch. Stone won again. Decent effort from them against Modishall and Alton. Again, they were put into bat first, made 1-9-1 for 9, got a full 40 overs, well, I say a full 40 overs in. And then Modishall fell 20 short, 1-7-1 for 8. Main man for Stone was Sam Graham, 79 opening up. And John Cheadle again got some runs, got 39. Wickets mainly for Mod. You got three from Lewis Moulton and two each from Akko Jr. and Dan Richardson. And then Mod gave it a good go. Sam Castle got 54, Johnny Seabridge got 34, and Dan Richardson got 32, but it just wasn't quite enough. Ed Gaffney got two, EJ Laverty got two, and Ben Motley got two as they held on for the win. And then last but not least, Johnny Hancock, I'm delighted to say, got him and the boys got off the mark. They got a win against Whitmore. They were 150 all out, which included some runs for John. He got himself 40 opening up, and Matt Coxon got 42 as well, a bit lower down the order. And maybe at 150 all out, they may be thinking it wasn't quite enough. Good performance from Mohammed Kaleem and Daniel Hussein, getting three each. Emilio Gay, the North Hants player, played for them this week. You know, seem to love a North Hants player at the moment, don't they, Whitmore, for filling in. But did a good job. Port Hill in reply. No one scoring above 30 for Whitmore. And Johnny Hancock with a fourfer, mate. What a captain's performance. 40 and a fourfer from Johnny. Take some beating, that does.
Have you been messing your week then? Well, all weekend.
No, mate, I actually messaged him. He's too modest as Jordan, so I thought I'd message him. But I'm going to hand over to you for Div 1, dude. Do you think you can manage that, mate?
Oh, no, mate, hang on.
The joys.
I'm not that much as you, though, because we'll be here all night.
Yeah. We go quicker through lower leagues, mate. Honestly.
The two seems nice, to be fair, oddly, because I've heard Toby Deggett 360s.
Yes, I've heard this also.
So, Audley got 218 for 9 off their 45, with Jack Redmond getting 65, Ricardo Gordon 40, Rob got 28, and Ollie Wow got 44. And then, yeah, but the best bit about this game is, I mean, Jack Redmond told me yesterday, even though we did get him out, he did get over the clubhouse at Audley. By Toby Degg, so, you know, he likes listening, so he'll enjoy that.
Toby Degg, the best Degg around the North Staffs, because the bald Degg that goes by the name of Ben, he is not in good books at the moment with us. We'll mention that later on.
Yeah, but you forgot Scott Degg, mate. You forgot Scott Degg.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Scott. Yeah, Scott Sound.
And then wickets for Gordon, 2, Hughes, 2, and Hemmings got 4.
Good effort from Rob Hemmings, then.
Who else we got? Eccleshall and Woodland. Oh, that was a very good game. We were following that, actually. Seems I'm not Wood Lane's biggest... Well, sorry. Yeah, Wood Lane aren't my biggest fan at the minute.
But now, do we mention Tomo?
Well, from this, it looks like first ball of the game.
He was bowled first ball of the game, mate. Yeah, sorry, Tomo.
That's why I don't open the batting, mate.
Tell me about it.
We won't mention that. We'll just mention a couple of this. Right, Joe's got 35. Omar Ali, 24. And Dan Brealey, 20. But that was about it once at Wood Lane. But I think at one point when Exhall were chasing it, I swear they were 8 down for not many. Maybe like 80 chasing 130.
81 for 8, I've got them down.
That was.
Yeah.
And then what was it when they were 9 down?
9 down was 107.
Oh, that's a very good effort.
It is a good effort. Cameron Sinclair, the skipper.
I got 22, ain't he?
Yeah.
And then Ben Thomas, 4 not out of 26, just holding the end up. Wow.
Like that a lot. Proper cricket.
Eccleshall took the points there. Who's next? Oh, do we have to mention Emmy?
Yeah, of course you do, mate.
So he had a good weekend, did he, Liam? 136, didn't mention it last night at all, but, you know. Off 119. Max Hodgson got 49, Ben Lucas 25, and Madge Hack 16. Wickets for Ben Holt, and I don't even know how to say that name, Journey.
William Mashingi? I don't know, mate.
Close enough. They got 261 for 6, did Emmy, and Al Withwell 167 all out. Ash Rogers got 60. And then the same bloke who I can't say his name got 40.
You did a great job here, dude. I can't say your name, so I'll just call you him.
Tom Hodgson got 5 for 19 off 9.
Yeah.
That's a fair. Well, bowled that man. Nipersley, oh, we won't mention them either. Seems you lot beat him yesterday.
We'll talk about that later, mate.
Endon beat Nipe. 66 for Louis Washington. 38 for our old pro Sonny. Wickets for... Well, they're only 4 down.
We ain't many down, yeah.
Run out, yeah. 3 wickets for Kevin Cockerton. And then Endon knocked it off for 5 with Alex Bailey getting 34, Jordan Weaver 38 with most of the runs. And then, yeah, chipping in with the wickets for Knipe. Oh, Castle Arts Hill did well, did they? I'm literally reading these results because I haven't even seen them. So.
I think it makes you better even your reaction, mate, to be honest.
You've got the runs here then. Rich Egan, 61 off 53, well batted, sir. James Egan, 33. Wickets for Dan Redfern, Tom Lawton, and Liam Bedson. Lee Seat. Dave Speakman, 23. Number 11 with the high score, a lot.
I love that. That's
all batted.
Well done, lad.
And then who got wickets? Mohammed Abid got 4 for 19. And last but not least, oh no, Little Stoke lost. Oh no.
I think if you were a betting man, they would be always on your acca, wouldn't they? Let's be honest.
They're going to surprise someone. What Meary surprised him. Not a nails, was it last week?
Hey, Meary for 1-2 in a row, haven't they, lads?
They have, mate. They have. They're above us now.
Oh, God. Don't say that.
So Sandyford got 125 for 9, and Little Stoke was 75 for 7 in reply. I'm guessing. Oh no, they both did have the same overs. Craig Lees 33, Ryan Davies 29, Todd Talbot 3 for 11 for Little Stoke, 2 for Ben Green, and in reply, apart from Ecky and Paul Green, no one scored above 5.
Oh, wow.
Extras was third high scorer with 15.
Beautiful work. Good stuff from Extras.
2 for 9 for Yasser Ali, and Mohamed Navid got 2 for. So I'm guessing Little Stoke are bottom.
Yes, I would guess so. We'll do the tables at the end because I forgot, mate, because I'm useless. Div 2, do you want to do the Div 2, seeing as it's your league, mate? You might know a bit more about it than me because I don't know.
I haven't seen the results again, mate. So.
Doesn't even know his own league, guys. This is what.
Well, we're this one. That's this one. So basically, all Sage played Silverdale, and genuinely, the 30-yard circle was probably the boundary on one side.
Wow.
Because it was that wet.
Bit moist.
Yeah. Nice. Good run chase by all Sage, actually, because Silverdale got 145-7 off their 25, which is actually a pretty decent score, really.
Decent.
Alex McChristie 38. Ethan Sharif 36, Reese White 28. Most of the runs come from the top three. Special mention to Brooksy getting run out, which was hilarious. James Blore 4 for 24. And then All Sager in reply. James Lithgow, I think I said that right.
Yeah.
Not out of 36. That is a very good knock.
Very good knock.
I think he had a blue helmet as well. You know them like light blue helmets?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that makes it even better.
Yeah.
One prize 43. All right, hang on. Next one. Oh, we're short and sweet. We were called off by 2.
Yeah. Class.
Me and Reith with another win.
Both Park are in trouble, aren't they? Let's be honest. It seems anyway.
Have they won a game yet?
Well, I don't know, but they were all out for 36 yesterday in the cup. So I was told. So I don't think you've had a great day.
2 games? Oh, no.
No. Who do you?
Yes. High score for them was 10. Martin Dawson got 10. And Andrew Marshall got 10.
No, the top score was Extras, mate. 11.
Oh, sorry, I didn't pay attention to that.
I was checking.
Bowling, Azim Ali 3 for 9 off 8. Wild Bold, Darren Weston 2 for 13 off 8. And Will Gallimore 3 for 8 off 5.5. On a roll now, aren't they?
On a roll, mate. Didn't even need Big Nick Mascu this week.
I know, yeah. Pulled up, ain't he?
Yeah, he's army. Be shot if he was an old scored to Jono.
Norton and Wales won 182 for 8. And Oakmore 122 out in reply.
That was a big game as well at the top of the table, or top end of the table as well.
I'm guessing he's sub pro, is he? Aaron Thomason?
Aaron Thomason, yeah, came in as sub pro, did the business, didn't he?
64, James Pringle 30. And in reply for Oakmore, the high score was Adam Keats with 23. We've got the wickets. Cashy Valley Moon, come on. What? Normally, if he's a bowler, he's like fifth bowler on him. Got 4 for 24 off 7, and 2 for Ant Sheeran. I think that means a top as well, I think. Not nails.
Possibly so.
Oh, the best one is this game, though. Ballston. Ah. George Horbrook, 151 not out of 90 balls.
Decent lick, that.
Yeah. I think you boys might, if you win your game in the 2020.
Yeah, we have to play, yeah.
Yeah, and
well,
they win.
Say it. Us, boys. I'm not playing that. You can absolute horses.
Yeah, now, mate.
Fess that.
So, yeah, you can't really see past him there, can you? 150 foot, no. And I know from the past when he's hit me for 6 before, mate, he can hit a big ball. 3 wickets from Matt Lowe, 2 for Niall Assington, 2 for Jake Plummer. And in reply, Portill got 177. Ben Warner got 42 off 21. That's very quick. And then Will Price, 25. And Liam Hassett, 27. sport a very good win for Boston, and Stafford and Caverswell was called off. I'm guessing Stafford was probably underwater.
Yeah, probably so, mate. Next always.
Your boys.
Yeah, Div 3, Checkley beat Audley, which I think was as expected. Checkley up towards sort of the upper half, Audley right down at the bottom. Pretty comfortable win there for Checkley, winning by 5 wickets. Main man, person really for Audley was Gary Boyles with 66, but nothing else really to show. And then Checkley, as I say, knocked off with ease, really. Thomas Carrigan opening the batting, 58 not out. Well done to that lad. Modern Alton 2s beat Crewe comfortably. They posted 125 for 8, which probably didn't look like a massive score, really, from 40 overs, but Crewe were all out for 91. Ian Wally got 27 opening the batting. Joe Hawkins got 27 as well. There was 21 lower down for Tom Phillips as well, we know. But yeah, Callum Bacon only managed 2. Lewis Bacon only managed 29, and I think that was where it all sort of went Pete Tong for Crewe. 3 wickets for Rory Jones, couple for Usman Salim and Matt Wright there. Hanford lost to Meekins 2s. Hanford all out for 134. Meekins managed 139 for 7. But Meekins batted first, actually, so in the end that was quite a tight game, and losing by 5 runs with still 7 balls of the game to go, probably not the greatest end for Hanford, but Meekins will be delighted. Josh Graham managed 64. Zafar Iqbal yet again hitting 32. So not doing a bad job at all, that man. He does a very good job, Donny, for Meekins 2s, I've got to give it him. And then a couple of wickets for Connor Clements and Tariq Mughal, is it? I can never say his name right. 5 for 20. 5 for 20, so he's had a very good day, a little 5 for. So I can't argue with that. MF 2s lost out to Stone 2s, and again, looked like quite a decent game. Emmy's managed 141 for 9 off their 25 overs. And, well, Stone chased it down just over 20 overs. 144 for 1. So Daniel Kyle was the main man for Emmy, getting 73 off 49. So not a bad, decent lick, that is. And there was 4 for Fred Batchelor and 3 for Jack Motley. But then Stone cruised to it in the end, really. Liam Hickey, 56 off 49 balls. And Henry Mountford, 84 off 68. Not a bad effort there. Longton 2s beat Ecclesall 2s. Again, another game that looked really, really, really good game. Longton posted 162 for 9 off their 40 overs. And Ecclesall fell just 2 runs short, again with 10 balls left. So that's a fair finish. Luke Woodward got 61 and Ryan Alwell 43 for Longton and setting that score. And then Ecclesall, Greg Adams got 27 early up, and Craig Sinclair did a decent job with 44 not out, but there was just no one there to sort of help him get over the line. And a lad we know well, dude, Josh Clayton, getting a 3 foot, and it appears getting the last couple of wickets. So fair play to Clayton there, doing his job with the ball. I'm sure he was a very happy man. And then the last game of the day was Wedges. Lost out to Cheadle 2s. Posted 141 for 9, which seemed an okay score, maybe a little bit low. Rizwan, the main man, was 73 not out. Had a good partnership with Ram, who got 24. But it wasn't to be. Got chased down reasonably comfortably in the end. We had a great start. Adam 29 for 4, and even Adam 67 for 5, and you thought the game was in our hands, but just couldn't make enough breakthroughs in the end, sadly. Gaz Kinsey, though, got a 3 for us. Actually, while I'm thinking of our... Actually, no, I'll mention him in a minute. I think the story of the day, though, goes towards your dad, mate, really, from that game. Your dad decided to put something complimentary on the old boys cricket team Facebook group that apparently I'm blocked from, despite never having posted on it. Well, apparently so. I can't find it, dude. So I believe I am blocked, but I don't quite know how, because I've never posted on there. But he posted something that was almost, which was slightly complimentary towards Wedgwood. and a member of the Cheadle team decided to take it upon himself to call us a shit club with a shit team, with shit players, with shit people. Basically, everything was shit, which led to quite a lot of, shall we say, mudslinging. He'd like to let everyone know that apparently he's won Div 1 and the Talbot Cup. I would remind him that people can go on Play Cricket and see how many games you actually played and how many runs you contributed. I hate to tell him about that. So, yeah, gave it big guns. I think he may have had a few drinks because the next morning they were all deleted. But then we took great satisfaction when we beat NIPE yesterday in your dad posting, not bad for a shit team and a shit club. That
I know when I first thought that, but why has he put that on? And then, I think Ash showed me today at work all the messages, and one of the best ones was about paying players, saying that Cheadle 2s wouldn't pay players. I'm like, yes, but Cheadle 1s will pay players, mate. It's Wedwood's first team.
Yeah. I think, to be fair, I'll give a shout out to Ollie Holland. Comment of the day went to him. I won't repeat it, but it made me laugh a lot. It may have involved him, asking about what someone's part of their body may have tasted like. I'll leave that up to the listeners to work out what that meant. But yeah, I think that'll be a tasty fixture when we return to Cheadle, to say the least. But hey ho, I'm sure the likes of Azza, Ash, Gaz, Ollie Wilson, I'm sure they will not resort to slinging any mud as well.
They want Ash has been calling me here today, mate.
Well, I'll put it this way: there was quite a few shouts of "Come on, let's do it for Deggy yesterday," shall we say? If that's the nice way of putting what was said.
I like how Ash got his Big Tim Cheap got his standard one run and got out.
Mate, fair play to him. It was last ball and he just fucking ran. He ran himself out, fair play. Trying to run two, so can't argue with it. But yeah, so quite.
He tried to run a two.
He tried to run a two, mate. He was never there.
I've never seen him run a one, mate. Never mind a two.
Mate, I opened the batting with him once and we ran two or three threes in the first three or four balls. I was fucked. I couldn't move. I was like, why have you done this to me, big lad? So, yeah, don't start me on that man. Quickest man over 20 yards, I tell you. Quick look through the tables. Prem, Stoner at the top, with Cheadle in second. Longton now down in third. Bottom of the table, Ashcombe and Whitmore. I dare say, I think that's where they may finish, worryingly. So that was in the Prem. Going on to Div 1. Alworth at top. Endon just behind them on same points as Meath. I think that's big three teams to be up there, isn't it, really? Looking down, Blythe and Littlestoke, I think Littlestoke are probably going to struggle. Blythe could do with a win, really, now to get themselves up on sort of towards level terms with Wood Lane and Lisa, who are just outside. Down into Div 2, Norton and Ailes are on top, just ahead of Oakmore. Barlaston are not far behind in third, and Sandbach aren't, well, to be fair, Sandbach and Silverdale aren't far behind in fourth and fifth. I hate to say, Roe Park bottom of the table by a good way. Stafford next to bottom, and then 1 point outside the relegation zone is the boys. Have a weird Lalo.
Two games called off.
Yeah, mate. I know, mate. I know. Fucking rain's killing everyone, mate. Tell
We're starting our season this week against a bigger Rat Thomas when he hits me for about, I don't know, 50 and one over, because we'll probably chuck a couple of nobles in there.
Great stuff. Moving on to Div 3, Cheadle at top with Meekins just outside of Stone and Longton. And then towards the bottom end, you've got Audley and Hanford at the moment. Crew are on the same points though as Hanford. Wedgie's just a few points above. And then there's starting to be a gap building up to where Hemeath, Modishall and Checkley are. Almost splitting the league into almost three mini-leagues of three or four teams, to be honest. So that's how the leagues are. And then there was the Cups yesterday, dude. So obviously you've explained that you had your game away at home, to Bearsham. Decent game of cricket, and I think there's quite a few decent games. Port Hill, Meekins has been delayed a week just because I think basically Meekins was soaked. So that's been
Audley and, oh God, who are they playing? Is it Audley Cheadle?
Might have been, mate.
They've been put back because Cheadle and one of them.
Yes, they're playing Timperley or someone, weren't they?
Yeah, so theirs is next week.
Yeah, so Newcastle and Arts Hill beat Blythe in a super over. Decent effort there. Decent game, I would say, as well, looking at scores 188, plays 188, obviously. Newcastle Arts Hill won on a super over. Looking at the Blythe scores, Tristan Elam got 79. And Khalid Hamidi got 62. Louis Kidd's best mate, if Louis's listening. John Gidman got 70 in reply for Newcastle. And he was the main one, really. Asif Raza got 30. Now, but I say they won one on a super over, or golden overs, I think I saw the league describe it as. I don't know why it's not just a fucking super over. Super over, isn't it? Why I call it a golden over? A bit bizarre. Silverdale got beat by Hemeath in a rain-affected game. Hemeath 210, Banksy another ton. Silverdale fell quite a way short of their target.
That game.
Yeah.
Where they dropped him.
Class.
I think he was on about 70, but yeah, he had some sticks poser yesterday.
I can imagine.
What I don't get from that game as well,
mm,
looking at this, Hemeath got 210 for 4 off 38.
Yeah.
But then Silverdale only needed 122 from 25. Me, yeah, that's not fair.
No, like, that seems like a bit too close for Silverdale.
Teams Emmy scored over 5 and over.
Yeah, I thought they'd have been looking at
four down. How have they got a revised target of something under? It is under 5 and over, isn't it?
Yes, it is, mate. Only just, but it is, yeah.
So surely it should have been with them having less.
I'd have gone about 135. I would have said maybe 140.
140, 150.
Mm. Yeah, mate, Duckworth Lewis, no point in explaining it, is there? Because none of us know how to explain it.
Different apps that people probably get it wrong anyway. So.
Well, true. Little Stoke absolutely thrashed according to this, they absolutely thrashed All Sager, but I'm not actually sure looking at it. because they got 173 for 8 off 36, and then it appears All Sager just didn't get close on Duckworth Lewis, but it looks like it was obviously very, very rain affected. So I think it's a bit. Maybe, although it looks like it says it's a thrashing, I don't think it probably was as much
probably like 10-15 behind, aren't
you? Yeah, you would say, looking at that, wouldn't you? You wouldn't say it was 100-odd runs of good old play cricket. Just
he did that with us when we lost to Oakmore, because obviously we ended up needing 78 off 7. But then obviously because of the score we ended up getting was like, I think it was like, I don't know, 80 less than what it should have been. And he said we'd lost by 80. I was like, we haven't lost by 80, mate.
Whitmore beat Endon comprehensively. Endon 46 all out. Having previously watched Whitmore managed 225 for 6. So that was quite a thrashing. I think I saw that Emilio Gay had quite a good game for Whitmore, to be fair. Yeah, got 51. So not a bad effort from him there. Looking on to the next game, once my play cricket decides to load, because play cricket hates everyone. Wood Lane got beat by 10 wickets by Chetley. 101 for 8 from 40 overs. Chetley knocked it off in 12 overs for no loss. I think that's what you call comprehensive. Stoke, again, big win against Norton and Ailes. 241 for 3. Norton and Ailes could only manage 1-3-1 all out. I think one of the big results today, Sandbach beating Cheshire rivals Alwyth. League below. Sandbach managed 1-3-6 for 6 after with Alwyth 1-3-4 all out. Longton won easy against Eccleshall 2's 74 all out. Longton knocked it off for none in 8 overs. Fair go, that is. Again, Leek won actually quite a tight game in the end against Eccleshall 90 all out, but Leek managed to get there with just one wicket to spare and just not too long to spare in the game either. Caverswall beat Barlaston, 191 for 9 they managed. I think it was 100 for Johnny Baker I saw. Barlaston 79 all out. We've talked through Bigland losing out to Bearsham in a decent game. Bagnell disposed of Stafford without any trouble. 61 all out Stafford. Bagnell knocked it off in 4.4 overs.
Jesus.
I think that's some good batting going on. As I mentioned earlier, Road Park were 36 all out of 28 overs. Again, Modishall knocked it off 40 for none at 4.1. Mickens, as we said, Port Hill was rearranged. Audley Cheadle rearranged. And the boys went and did the business at Nipersley because that's just what we do, Lalo, because we're a shit team from a shit club. But we went and beat Div 1 nicely. I will give a shout-out to Ollie Wilson to keep him happy because he did take 4-foot. Big shout-out to Ram for 3-foot. And the biggest shout-out has to go to Shay. Only joined us a few, obviously, beginning of the season from Oakmore, mate. Young lad, not played many games. Oakmore never really gave him much of a bowl. Midweek, he takes a 4-foot in the 100 Ball Cup, including a hat-trick. Makes his first team debut on Sunday and gets the last wicket and just bowled really, really well for a lad playing his first ever first team game. It was unreal. So big shout out to Shay. I promised him one. I'll give a shout out to Smithy as well, another one of the second teamers, because he fielded great. Just don't ask him about missing the straight one from the leg spinner first ball for a golden, because he wasn't very happy about that. But Azza did the business, 43 not out. So big shout out to Azza there. And that's really it. So the last thing, mate, I wanted to do something a bit different. Obviously, okay. We've been having our Room 101 polls each week, but I think we're running out of things we want to get rid of from cricket. So I'm going to do a new thing, a North Staffs Star Player of the Weekend. So I'm going to suggest 3 people to be put on the poll. If you can think of any others we want to add in, and we'll see who the North Staffs public vote as the Star of the Week. So first up, we've got Banksy. Star of the Weekend, 2 tons, so he's going to be one of the options. Johnny Hancock with his 40 and his 4-foot as skipper for Port Hill is going to be another option. Next, we've got George Holbrook with his, 150 off 90 balls. And do we have a fourth option that you can think of, or you think has stood out this weekend and deserves going in there, or shall we leave it as an AN over and let people nominate?
AN over, a lot.
Yeah, we'll let people...
Seems I've only just seen most of the results. Yeah, I'm probably.
I thought that might be the case, mate. So I'll put them three up and.
We can chuck him in there. I think it was Jack Kesterman got 6 for 19 against Alworth in the tournament.
Yeah, he did do well, Jack. We'll put Jack Kesterman in because he took yet another blinding catch as well, I've seen on Twitter today. So I'll put Jack Kesterman in there.
Some runs as well, yeah. We'll put him in.
There we go. We've made it 4. So, guys, have a vote on that. Let us know what you think. Let us know who you think should win Star of the Weekend. If someone wants to sponsor the North Staff Star of the Weekend and give us a prize to actually give out to whoever wins, that'd be great. So, any sponsors, anyone listening out there, Gary from Spider, no pressure like that. But I think that's us done, dude, for this week. I think we'll be
Shall
back.
Shall we do 5 players? Because I think 5 makes his thing.
8. Yeah, but you're stitching us up here because Twitter only allows 4 options, mate.
We're doing the game for you, mate, just because you made your
team. Oh, fuck off.
Doing 5, make a 5 leg.
Mate, 45 to 45, that's what I was doing. Fielded the ball about 8 times, mate.
But yeah, we'll go with them 4 then.
Didn't cost any singles, that's all I'm saying. Right, next week we'll be back. We'll probably hopefully have Jono with us. We'll talk a little bit about England, New Zealand, and obviously the upcoming test series between the two. We'll do the usual North Staff stuff, and I'm not sure what day it'll be out, to be fair, because I'm out on the piss on Sunday. It's bank holiday Monday, so God knows what state we'll be in on the Monday, but I'm sure at some point we'll get the podcast out before the test series. Make sure you follow, subscribe, and review, as always. Make sure you give Woodstock a look if you're after any kit at all, and make sure you get hold of some Cry Bat stickers by donating to us. We've slowed up on the people wanting bat stickers. Ben Degg, I'm happy to send you some, mate, if you want. I can even get them with a Wedgwood badge on because we are your favourite shit club. But I think that's it, dude, isn't it?
I think so, mate.
I think we might get some replies to this episode, to be fair. Right. It has been a pleasure. So cheers for listening, guys, and hopefully you'll be still listening next week. Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.